This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump is to host some top congressional Democrats at the White House today as the next deadline to extend government funding is looming. That is House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi and Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer sit down with President Trump to discuss his demand for border wall funding.
So this is the first time we've ever chosen someone no longer alive as Person of the Year.
Editor-in-Chief and CEO of Time, Edward Falsenthal, saying murdered Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi is one of its persons of the year.
His murder has prompted a global reassessment of the Saudi crown prince and a really long overdue look at the devastating war in Yemen.
Khashoggi recognized as one of the persons of the year along with other journalists, including the murdered staffers at the Capital Gazette in Maryland, an indicted Filipina journalist, and two jailed Myanmar reporters. This is USA Radio News.
If you're like most people and you see two gas stations and one sells gas for a little bit less, you go to that one. It just makes sense. Every little bit helps. But here's what's weird, though. Sometimes we save a few pennies here and there and ignore opportunities to save huge money, life-changing money. If you switch to MediShare for your health care, it could be massive savings for you. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Think what you could do with that over time. Just doing the math, that's $6,000 a year. That is significant. And yes, people love it, and they love it because it works. It's believers who share each other's healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people are now members of MediShare, and it's growing like crazy. Find out how much you could save and why MediShare is so popular. Go to MediShare.com or call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. MediShare.com or 855-90-PSALM.
The special counsel's case against former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort back before a court this afternoon, a hearing to focus on the special counsel's charge that Manafort violated his plea agreement by lying about White House contacts. Manafort's agreed to cooperate with the special counsel's investigation into Russian election interference after he was convicted on federal fraud charges. Meanwhile, the president's son-in-law and advisor, Jared Kushner, says the president is looking at a short list of candidates to be his next chief of staff.
The president will make the right choice for chief of staff when he's ready, and hopefully he'll choose somebody he's got great chemistry with, great relationship with, who will help him navigate the next couple of years.
Kushner speaking there on Fox. Five Marines who've been missing since a mid-air crash off the coast of Japan last week have been declared dead by the Marine Corps. Another Marine also was killed, and one's in fair condition. The Dow Jones average opening more than 350 points higher at the bell this morning on Wall Street, and this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Some protesters making their presence known on Capitol Hill yesterday. What was the issue? Well, here's USA Radio's Tim Berg.
We gotta rise up, rise up, this one.
Environmental protesters were on Capitol Hill pushing for what they're dubbing the New Green Deal. Former California Assemblyman Republican Chuck DeVore tells Fox News, this is not a good deal for you.
I think that in America, though, with this Green New Deal, you're going to see indirect taxation. In other words, more subsidies, more taxes, more mandates and regulations. You're going to see more cost for fuel, and it's going to really hit the working poor and the middle class the most.
Men and women who own and run America's small businesses continue to really like what they see as they look forward. The Small Business Optimism Index for November was within sight of all-time highs, although it's down slightly from October's reading. Plans for capital spending and job creation were up, though. And the Board of Governors for the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts, and Sciences to meet tonight in Los Angeles to discuss who's going to host the Oscars after comedian Kevin Hart's abrupt departure. He stepped down after getting criticized for some old gay jokes he'd made on social media years ago. reportedly under consideration to replace him, actors Hugh Jackman or Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Six minutes after the top of the hour. Hello, America. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Hey, by the way, it's the season, right? Merry Christmas to you. And we bear gifts. And always good to pass it forward. As you know, we talked with Luke Zamperini, the son of Louis Zamperini, the other day. And he left us some DVDs that we can give out, DVDs of Unbroken, The Path to Redemption. Luke was one of the producers of it, of the movie. Of course, story about his father, picked up where the other one finished off, the other one from 2014. Gosh, it's hard to imagine that it was that long ago. Seems like it was just yesterday. That was Angela Jolie's version of, of the Louis Zamperini story. And this picks up from there because a lot of people of faith understood the faith story of Louis Zamperini. And it was important to tell this part of it. And Luke and others got together and they were able to produce this movie. And it is the inspirational true story that continues Unbroken Path to Redemption. And this DVD is available. All you got to do, by the way, available for free, our gift to you. Just drop me an email. Include your address. Tell me, hey, Martinez, put me in the hoppa. And I'd like a copy of Unbroken, Path to Redemption, and our gift to you. And we'll get it out to you right away. Hopefully you can get it in a stocking stuffer. Enjoy it for your family. It'll be one of those highlights for the Christmas season for you. John Milkovich is with us. He is an attorney, Democratic state senator in Louisiana, author of the new book, Robert Mueller, Errand Boy for the New World Order. John, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Hey, Bill, what a privilege to be with you today.
Well, the honor is ours, and I appreciate all the hard work here. I got to tell you, it's always suspect to me, John, when one of the first things you hear about anybody, especially in the world of politics, is he's such a great guy. He's an honorable person. And it's like, well, why are you trying to sell me? Who are you trying to convince that is the case? And this seems to be, the warning flags that went up whenever there was any conversation about Robert Mueller. And your book really bears on his background, and it presents the background so people can read and decide for themselves if Mueller is worthy of all the accolades and credibility that is being thrust on him in light of him being the hammer that the useful idiots would want to take advantage of in beating down one President Donald J. Trump.
Boy, I couldn't have said it better. That's exactly right. What the book says, and it's not so much that John Milkovich says it, Bill, is that the evidence says it, and that is this: there is a Gulf Canyon sized chasm between the presentation of Robert Mueller in the media, much of the mainstream media, and the reality of who he is, his past, his life, what he's done. And he's got a career of cover-ups, of disdain for the truth, of rolling over the innocent, of protecting the guilty, giving a pass to the basically the system, the establishment, the insiders that try to run everything.
John, what happened? When did he make a wrong turn? Because his background, I mean, he served in the military, former Marine, Marine officer, so he has that of service. But what happened after he got out of the military? Was it just that he decided he wanted to be involved with, higher level, government and, maybe got coerced to the dark side or something? What happened to you?
I do not know the answer to that question. I think you're asking the question the heart of this issue is, how does a person make a turn like this, towards darkness? And my honest answer is, I don't know. Mm-hmm. This is what we know. And this is not because John Milkovich figured it out. What we say in the book is, and we're very open and given the tribute to all of the writers, researchers, investigators, whistleblowers, federal agents, journalists, cops, veterans and soldiers that uncovered bits and pieces of the Mueller story until we could really put it together and have a full fabric. But the reality is that for over 30 years that we've got documented, he has been very tragically defending evil and trampling on that which is right and good. And I don't know if we'll have a moment or two to do it, but really the story, the narrative goes back and includes the Whitey Bulger story, Pan Am 103, BCCI, Ruby Ridge, 9/11, anthrax, weapons of mass destruction, the surveillance state, and now the war he's bringing on Donald Trump. And what these researchers have uncovered over the last 30 years is that Robert Mueller has been in the middle of cover-up after scandal, after episode of corruption.
Well, for somebody who claims to be transparent, not so much. And like you said, there's a lot of research that went into your book. I mean, this isn't an opinion piece. I mean, here are the facts. You can read them and decide for yourself. You start out in chapter one, you headline Tributes, Trajectory, and Treason. Explain to our audience in chapter one what you laid out.
Well, Bill, and that is that there is the pristine alabaster iconic image of Robert Mueller presented by many in the mainstream media and a lot of the political and financial elite. And then there is his real biography, what he's done with his life, what his actions, his body of work, the magnum opus, so to speak. And the body of work is astonishing for its alignment with, doing the wrong thing. We drill down a little bit on Whitey Bulger. Whitey Bulger was the Irish mobster in Boston that had a reign of terror for about 19 years that put a lot of people in graves.
Yeah.
And the FBI was protecting Whitey Bulger. That's been clearly documented. There's been prosecution.
Yeah, he's hanging out on the West Coast, Santa Monica. Eventually, he's brought to somewhat justice, but then he gets ultimate justice by the hands of another inmate there in prison, right?
Oh, my goodness. And listen, it's interesting. Whitey Bulger was all of a sudden found right as Robert Mueller was up for another 2 years as head of the FBI, and he gets murdered, some people say, right as he was fixing to talk about things that he knew. Yes, what the book knows, what the researchers have documented and verified is that in the middle of Whitey Bulger's 19-year reign of terror in Boston, Robert Mueller was right there in the middle of it. He was
right.
The assistant U.S. attorney and the U.S. attorney in Boston for a period of over 4 years. What did he do about Whitey Bulger and his FBI protective reign of terror?
That remains the question. John Milkovich is with us. We've got more from John on the other side of the break. Stay with us. It's just about 15 after the top of the hour.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit acs2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today and save $10 on the Bug Beam Laser Combo, only at BugAssault.com.
Someone has to stand up and say it. Bill Martinez, live. Now I'm just a beggar
in the presence of... Here we are putting ourselves in the crosshairs because we want to pursue the truth, because the truth matters. The whole truth and nothing but. Our guest, Robert John Milkovich, writes to Robert Mueller, errand boy for the New World Order. That's his new book. He writes that there is an epic disconnect between Robert Mueller, described by the mass media and officialdom as a model of public propriety, and the Robert Mueller documented by independent researchers, a chronic collaborator with a career characterized by cover-ups, corruption, and unconscionable conduct, an ever-willing instrument of deep state dissimulation. Researcher Kevin Ryan writes, what some people don't know about Mueller is that he has a long history of leading government investigations that were diversions or cover-ups. These include the investigation into the 1988 bombing of Pan Am Flight 103, the investigation into the terrorist financing Bank of Credit and Commerce International, known as BCCI, and the FBI investigations into the crimes of September 11, 2001. John Milkovich, boy, what you present here, I mean, you lay it out, as we said in the opening here, whether it's Whitey Bulger, I mentioned Pan Am, Ruby Ridge, anthrax, the weapons of mass destruction, the surveillance state, the war on Donald Trump, and why not? I mean, why not have someone like Robert Mueller when it comes to discrediting a presidential election and the people's president, Donald Trump? Why not have him be the point man on this? I mean, it just kind of just fell into this. I mean, this seems so orchestrated and so perfect that maybe after everything is all said and done, John, the curtain might be fully pulled back on this deep state ruse and just how pernicious it is.
Oh, gosh, beautifully said. I think I'm going to have you go on the circuit for me, Bill, so you can talk about my book. And actually, it's not even my book. It's something that the Lord led me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Started out as an article. I saw that this is an independent, outsider, maverick, cowboy, non-establishment president. I saw that, you know, the obvious, that Mueller was the tip of the spear for the deep state, the establishment, the insiders, the New World Order, whatever you want to call them, the people that want to take him out.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that different journalists were talking in bits and pieces about, you know, Robert Mueller is involved in this scandal, he's involved in this corruption, he was involved in that episode of wrongdoing, he covered this up. And I thought, you know, someone needs to pull this all together and put it into one article that talks about all his instances of corruption. Well, that article turned into a book.
Mm.
And again, the credit goes to the people that dug this all up. If I can talk about Pan Am 103.
I was just going to go chapter 3, Pan Am 103. Unfold that.
Yeah, listen, the quick of it is, 1988, a flight from London to America gets blown up by a bomb that detonates, 270 lives lost, almost immediately, and actually in some instances before it was federal agents and international intelligence. They knew who was behind it. It was a Mujahideen, a Palestinian terrorist. They got paid by Iran to blow up the flight. Also, he was helped by Mansour al-Qassar, a Syrian drug dealer that was trafficking heroin from the Mideast into America. And then al-Qassar helped because he had a network of baggage handlers that he used to transport drugs and heroin from the Mideast to America. He'd get the dope on in suitcases through the paid-off baggage handlers. Mm-hmm. And he gave Jibril the baggage path, the airline route, to get a bomb onside the flight. And then, of course, the CIA, tragically, some CIA agents have their fingerprints on this. The CIA was protecting the drug ring. So you've got some crooked CIA, you've got the drug lord al-Qassar, and then you've got Jibril, the terrorist bomber. And actually, it has been documented that the CIA knew ahead of time that the flight was going to be blown up and told its people on the ground, well, that's okay, just let it go. Mm-hmm. So there was plenty of irons in this fire, and one of this stunning tragedy is that Charles McKee was on that flight. He was United States Army major and ranking officer with the Defense Intelligence Agency, who was on that flight, who was literally on his way from London to America to blow the whistle on the CIA's involvement in that drug ring that was bringing heroin into America. Well, he gets blown up. The flight gets blown up. The federal agents immediately surround, block, you know, descend on Lockerbie, Scotland, Angel or whatever, warriors falling right out of the sky, mm-hmm. and they find his suitcase, and this is documented in the book. It had all the evidence, and take the suitcase away, destroy its contents, or hide it. But the bottom line on this is the federal agents knew who pulled this mass murder off. What does Mueller do? He comes in at the behest of some international political leaders, and he sabotages the investigation. And all of a sudden, the investigation and the evidence, which is leading towards Jibril the terrorist, mm-hmm. Alcazar the drug lord, and some crooked CIA officers, gets turned around, and they scapegoat two Libyan intelligence officers that had nothing to do with the bombing. So that's instructive because, the injustice of all these people being killed and the truth not.
Exactly. Well, there's so much more about it in the book. This is why you have to read the book, get your hands on the book, Robert Mueller, Aaron Boy for the New World Order. Let's talk about Ruby Ridge. What happened there?
Well, of course, as we know the story, through the it's part of our known part of American
narrative,
culture, but
right.
Basically, federal agents descend. Randy Weaver gets a federal agent tries to kill him by literally severing his spine with a scoped rifle. Randy Weaver moves at the last instant, gets wounded, not killed. His son gets submachine gunned in the back to death by a federal agent after he's running away from an ambush. What the family said was an ambush by federal agents. Randy Weaver's wife is standing in the doorway of her home, holding her 10-month-old baby, and she gets shot in the head. So one of them, Randy Weaver, gets shot in the back unarmed. His wife gets shot in the doorway unarmed. His 14-year-old son gets shot to death running away from an encounter. And the interesting, the Mueller connection, I have no evidence that he directed this assault, but the people that were close to him said that Robert Mueller was furious when the federal agent shot up this family in Ruby Ridge. However, he wasn't furious for the same reasons you or I would have been, that federal agents, that our own government agents had shot up a family. He was furious that anyone would have the audacity and that members of Congress would be so bold to criticize the federal agents. BCCI, you mentioned that. That was the billions of dollars at that bank that was used in money laundering to finance drug operations, crooked intel, terrorist organizations. And George Bush Sr. brings Mueller in to sweep the evidence under the rug and basically cover up and give a slap on the wrist to the people that are involved so basically to protect the wrongdoers.
Right.
It's really interesting. You look at Paul Manafort, he's potentially facing life in prison for, wrongdoing and ripping off supposedly the federal government for a few millions. Well, BCCI didn't deal with millions. It dealt with billions.
Billions, exactly.
More money.
Right.
Manafort's facing life. BCCI operative, slap on the wrist.
Well, how do we have any confidence whatsoever? We got less than a minute left here, John Milkovich. How do we have any confidence in this Mueller investigation when he has been a useful tool all these years? And you have historic documentation here. So what kind of confidence can we have on this Russian investigation?
Listen, we can have confidence that he's going to do exactly what he's told to do. He's going to cover up for the deep state. He's going to try to take President Trump out because President Trump is standing for Christianity. President Trump is standing for the unborn. President Trump moved the embassy to Jerusalem. President Trump is fighting for a free, independent, and sovereign America.
Amen.
And that the deep state cannot tolerate.
John Milkovich, attorney, Democratic state senator in Louisiana, and author of the book Robert Mueller on Bill Martinez
Live.
This
report is brought to you by Bank of America. According to the Fall 2018 Bank of America Small Business Owner Report, 4 out of 5 entrepreneurs are confident their year-end revenue will exceed that of 2017. And looking ahead to 2019, 67% plan to expand their business. To support that growth, 27% of business owners plan to hire in the next 12 months, an 11% increase from this time last year. One new challenge amid the positive outlook is the competition for talent during a period of record low unemployment, which has made finding qualified workers a more difficult prospect. Sharon Miller, head of small business, Bank of America.
Small business owners are increasingly confident in the economy and are planning to expand their businesses over the next 12 months. At the same time, a historically tight job market has entrepreneurs adopting new talent acquisition strategies, as 58% reported difficulty finding qualified candidates.
For more, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump is to host some top congressional Democrats at the White House today as the next deadline to extend government funding is looming. That is, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi and Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer sit down with President Trump to discuss his demand for border wall funding.
This is the first time we've ever chosen someone no longer alive as Person of the Year.
Editor-in-Chief and CEO of Time, Edward Falsenthal, saying murdered Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi is one of its persons of the year.
His murder has prompted a global reassessment of the Saudi crown prince and a really long overdue look at the devastating war in Yemen.
Khashoggi recognized as one of the persons of the year along with other journalists, including the murdered staffers at the Capital Gazette in Maryland, an indicted Filipina journalist, and two jailed Myanmar reporters. This is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
What more could you want? Bill Martinez, live.
We're back with you, America. Good to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. I'm Bill Martinez, and, you know, we're going to talk cancer. We're going to talk about cancer at work, how we deal with it. According to the CDC, the number of cancer patients and survivors will reach almost 18 million in the next decade, and almost half will be diagnosed at a working age. The ability to manage employment after a cancer diagnosis can be complex, which means working people with cancer need support to balance work and health demands, as you can imagine. Despite the challenges that people with cancer face in the workplace, a new survey reveals that more than a majority of cancer patients and survivors, 69%, feel that work aids in their treatment and recovery. The survey also shows that many cancer patients and survivors continue to work during and after treatment for financial reasons and because they need health insurance, about 40% there. The survey was conducted by Harris Poll on behalf of Cancer and Careers, the only national nonprofit dedicated solely to serving the growing population of people working during and after cancer treatments. Well, here with us to talk about it, Sonia Kashuk and Rebecca Nellis. We're going to discuss the challenges cancer patients and survivors face while working or looking for work during or after treatment, and tips on how to navigate workplace conversations. Kashuk and Nellis are also here to talk about the needs of patients and survivors in the workplace. Sonia Kashuk is a cancer survivor and founder of Sonia Kashuk Beauty, and Rebecca Nellis is the executive director of Cancer and Careers. Sonia, Rebecca, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
We're great. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, excellent to have you here. Appreciate your time. Let me ask you, Sonia, first, why is the topic of cancer in the workplace important to have?
Uh, number one, I think that it's such a huge part of all of our lives is the work that we do, and it is such a big defining part of who we are. And I think that through a cancer diagnosis, the number one asked question is, will I die? And the second question is, can I work? Mm-hmm. And I think that understanding how to navigate your cancer treatment, and, you know, Cancer and Careers has done such an extraordinary job of stepping into a huge conversation that was never had before. Mm. So it has been, for me, as both a cancer survivor and a board member, so fulfilling to be a part of this organization that is doing this extraordinary work.
And sometimes in the workplace, as misunderstanding as it could be, Sonia, people wonder, go, well, you know, could I, you know, be infected? Or is this, what kind of impact is this going to have on me, right?
Yes, absolutely. You never know. You know, I think that the conversation of cancer and how one deals with it is so personal. Some people are very outspoken about it. Some are completely private. But at some point, if you are going through treatment, you do have to have a conversation with somebody in a position of letting them know you might need days off. You might need, you know, you might have to alter your schedule a little bit. But the power of working through cancer is just, I think it gives one the opportunity to feel a little bit normal in their life because you have something else to focus on. And it's one of the things I say to so many people that I talk to is try to work. It just takes your mind to another place and off of just the focus of, you know, what you're dealing with day to day.
How did you find, Sonia, if we can stay on this for just a moment, because I think this is important, especially for people who have been diagnosed and trying to figure out, okay, how much do I say at work? You know, it's one thing to talk to HR. It's another thing to, you know, have this conversation with your fellow employees and the reaction. How did you find the reaction of fellow employees?
I think, you know, it's interesting because I think it's one of those things that people are a little bit not sure how to navigate. It's almost like if, you know, nobody, you tend to be a little bit shy of like, how do I react? And I think that I've learned through the years is that you speak and you say, what can I do to help? How can I make your life easier? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's very interesting of how people tend to deal with it. Some get afraid to say something and they don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. But I find that more often than not, it's better to recognize than to kind of not talk about it. It's right. You know, one of those things that it's always a little bit of a hard navigation, and also of how the individual that's actually going through the treatment, how they choose to deal with it as well. So I think it tends to be if you're open with it, other people tend to be more open with it. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, you as the person dealing with it can kind of take the lead of how open the door is to conversation or not.
Exactly. Rebecca, let's talk a little bit more about the survey results. I touched on those briefly. What else can you tell us?
Sure. So, you know, I think for us what's so important is that we are getting good feedback every year from the cancer survivors themselves, really hearing what their experiences are like. And when we do that, we see such a wide range. So all the things that Sonia has pointed to, for some people, maintaining their privacy is really important, and concerns about being treated differently if they do share that kind of information at work. For others, 64% said that work was part of their coping. So that's really profound, right?
Right.
That our workplace could have a positive impact on our ability to cope through our cancer treatment and recovery. We also talked about through the survey, who were people talking to at work? And interestingly enough, the group disclosed to the least is actually HR. Mm. And so of the employed respondents, only 26% shared their diagnosis with HR. And that excludes the portion of our survey population who didn't even have an HR department to consider. Mm. So first, we have to understand that not everyone has HR.
Right.
And then if they did have HR, HR wasn't actually the primary source for sharing this information. It actually was either a supervisor or a coworker. And so I think what that says is There's some work to do on the company side if we want this to feel like it could be a more open conversation in the workplace. Really creating the space that makes employees feel like if they were to share, they aren't going to be treated differently. They aren't going to lose their job. They aren't going to be seen as a burden. All of those fears that come into why someone may or may not choose to share in, at work.
Mm-hmm. Well, and staying with you just a little bit here, Rebecca, what are some of the reasons cancer patients and survivors want to work?
You know, I think Sonia touched on some of it through her own experience, but there's everything from, in the survey, feeling well enough to work. 66% answered that question that way. In addition, there's obviously financial reasons, a distraction from their diagnosis, needing health insurance. So it's really the whole spectrum of why anyone goes to work remains true for why someone who was diagnosed with cancer would still want to work. And, of course, there's also that community and support aspect.
Sonia, what about healthcare, the healthcare climate? Can you address that?
Ooh, that is more of a Rebecca.
I almost thought that might be a case, and I wasn't sure if I just toss it up in the middle between the two of you or what. Okay.
I will jump in there and just say that as part of the survey, obviously, we ask about health care and health care concerns because they are affecting all of us and certainly someone with a serious illness like cancer. And so what we've seen over the last 2 years is survey respondents saying they are concerned that decisions made in Washington at the federal level are going to impact their real day-to-day lives, that pre-existing conditions is a concern for them, that rising costs are a concern, worry about being able to change jobs because what if that impacts their access to insurance. So that very, very practical piece of everyone's life around we need health insurance to get good health care absolutely impacts this audience.
Well, Rebecca, I'm going to give you the last word. Tell everybody where they can go for more information.
Great. Cancer and Careers' website, www.cancerandcareers.org, is the hub for all of the information, guidance, services, and programs for patients, survivors, coworkers, employers, and healthcare professionals.
Sonia Kashuk and Rebecca Nellis has been with us here on Bill Martinez Live. Ladies, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Shaquille O'Neal here. If you battle back or hip pain or knee or shoulder pain, you don't have to tough it out. You can just turn it off with Smart Relief from Icy Hot. You just push a button and whoosh. Smart Relief sends waves of relaxing pulses that safely block pain at the nerve level. It's simple, easy to use, and it's been clinically tested to start providing immediate relief for hours, even after you turn it off. So if you're battling pain, let Icy Hot help you win that battle. Turn on Smart Relief and turn off pain.
Use only as directed.
For professional staffing, there's only one name you need to know, Robert Half. Robert Half custom matches our candidates to your specific hiring requirements by combining personalized service from local staffing experts with an advanced matching technology based on 70 years of successful placements. For highly skilled accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, or administrative staffing, count on Robert Half. We'll find you productive, engaged employees. Learn more at roberthalf.com/radio.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. A recent Bank of America survey found that 53% of Americans plan to shop after Thanksgiving weekend. Last holiday season, consumers spent an average of $1,143 on retail purchases, showing there's a lot more shopping and spending ahead for Americans. Jason Gaughan, Bank of America Executive.
As you begin purchasing holiday decorations and gifts, it pays to have a credit card that rewards you for every purchase. With the Bank of America Premium Rewards Card, you earn an unlimited 1.5 points for every dollar you spend. Earn even more when you book holiday travel with 2 points for every dollar spent on all travel and dining purchases. Plus, our preferred rewards clients can receive a rewards bonus of up to 75%.
For more tips and information on how to apply for the Premium Rewards Card, visit bankofamerica.com/getmorerewards. That's bankofamerica.com/getmorerewards.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Standing up for what's right. Helping out when things go wrong. Seeking the truth and speaking our minds. Not just making records, but breaking them. Leading the way behind the camera, beyond the runway, and on the silver screen. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts, preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America, fresh and independent. That's the way you like us right here on Bill Martinez Live. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. Steve Turner is joining us, an English music journalist, biographer, and poet, who has spent his career chronicling, interviewing people from the worlds of music, film, TV, fashion, art, and literature. His career as a journalist began as a feature editor of Beat Instrumental, where he interviewed many of the prominent rock musicians of the 70s. Steve, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine, thanks.
Well, I was especially drawn to your new book, Turn, 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 Popular Songs Inspired by the Bible. Roger McGuinn, the lead singer, of course, of the Byrds, says, in all, it's a fascinating look at how the Bible continues to blend into popular culture. And, of course, they were the ones that took the music inspired by the book of Ecclesiastes and gave us Turn, Turn, Turn. Judy Collins says, Turn, Turn, Turn is an illuminating, inspiring, and must-read journey through songs and great artists that have brought the Bible to life. Everywhere in these pages is abundant evidence that the good book lives today. Steve is a great writer, and the book is truly magnificent. I love it, and so will you. That's quite the endorsement from two of the people there.
Yeah, I was glad to have them say those things. I had an endorsement from Nick Cave and also from Tim Rice, who wrote the lyrics to Jesus Christ Superstar and a New Testament scholar. I wanted kind of a whole sort of well-rounded bunch of people to praise me.
Well, it's always nice to have friends, even in higher places. There's nothing wrong with that. Steve, when you were looking at picking these songs, I don't think you started off and said, hey, I'm going to, you know, end up with 100 popular songs from the 30s to today. You know, how did it come up that you ended up with 100? Did you end up with 98 and said, hey, I got to do two more. I got to finish it up to make sure I have 100.
No, I was asked if I could come up with 40, and I thought, yes, you could certainly get 40, but I didn't think it would really be representative, and it wouldn't really cover the whole span of popular music. And so I'd push for 100. I'd have been happy, yeah, 101 or 99 people sometimes like those kind of odd numbers like that. But 100 seemed perfect. I mean, I could have done more. That wouldn't have been a problem. But I wanted to pick the ones that really made a difference and kind of added to the story, if I could.
Mm-hmm. Well, you start in chapter one. We go to 1935. You got to use the Carter family. I mean, can the circle be unbroken, right?
Yeah. I wanted to show that popular music. I mean, you get Elvis sort of recording hymns in the mid to late 50s.
Right.
But, you know, why would he do that? Well, you know, because he was inspired by gospel, he was inspired by blues, he was inspired by country and folk. And I wanted to show the kind of the roots of rock music in those forms. So I've got a blues song by Robert Johnson, a folk song by Woody Guthrie, gospel by Sister Rosetta Tharpe, and a country song by Hank Williams. And I wanted to show people where this stuff came from and take a little bit of time giving the background.
Well, good fun. I mean, you start in the 30s. You just mentioned songs from the 40s. You know, I Saw the Light by Hank Williams. You know, iconic songs back then that there was no doubt from whence they were inspired.
There was a period, I think somebody asked me, like, why did you start in 1935? And, I mean, the only reason really is I think that's when the recording industry kind of really kicked in and radio started to kick in. And that had the effect of kind of spreading this sort of music. But it also had the effect that a lot of people thought songs are no longer going to be passed down from generation to generation. People aren't going to sit around the piano or sit on the porch playing guitar. And so there were some collectors like the Lomaxes who would go around farms and prisons and all kinds of places in the South and asking people if they could sing the songs that they were taught that passed down their family. And a sizable proportion of those songs would have been hymns or spirituals. They just kind of naturally blended into the things that people sang about. And then for the generation of people like Judy Collins and Roger McGuinn, when they came along in the sort of late 50s, early 60s, these were the songs they dug into. They wanted authentic songs, not kind of machine-produced songs.
Right.
And so they looked at folk music and roots music of America.
Right. Well, you mentioned Elvis in 57. Of course, he since produced his own CD with lots of spiritual hymns and songs, which is so much fun. And, of course, this is one of the songs in 57 that's featured in that CD, There'll Be Peace in the Valley.
That was a gospel song. That was written by Thomas Dorsey, who's noted as the father of gospel music. He was a blues musician who became a Christian, I think, in the late 1920s, and he started to use his talent to write spiritual music. And I was fortunate enough to meet and interview him in the mid-70s. And it's interesting. There's an interplay between spiritual music and secular music. So he started writing spiritual music, but it was influenced by what he knew about blues and jazz. And then people liked what he did, and that influenced soul music, and then soul music influences gospel, and so it goes on.
Well, and as you say, you got Marvin Gaye in 1963. Can I Get a Witness, huh?
Yeah, that phrase doesn't actually appear in the Bible, but I mean, as you know, being an American, you know, in those sort of church services in Afro-American churches, a preacher will say, "Can I get a witness?" and then people will shout and cheer him on, you know, and people like Marvin and a lot of others would incorporate, like I've got Hallelujah, I Love Her So by Ray Charles, again, using a word that church people were familiar with, but giving it a kind of secular twist.
Exactly. Well, you had the Impressions in the mid-60s with People Get Ready.
Yeah, Curtis Mayfield, his, either his mother or grandmother was a preacher.
Yes,
so he absorbed all that language, and his songs were very gospel influenced, and yet they kind of appealed to the civil rights people. And Martin Luther King, I think, was an important figure in that period, introducing kind of biblical language into political conversation.
Well, just about
and encouraging, you know, people on the marches used to sing songs like Amazing Grace and This Little Light of Mine.
Well, Stephen, as you're doing this and you're touching just about on every artist that was in the Billboard Top 10, were affected. I mean, you know, some people wouldn't even think necessarily Jimi Hendrix all along the Watchtower. You know, definitely so, right?
Yeah, that mostly draws on material from Isaiah, I think. And it was actually written by Bob Dylan, but full of... I think Bob Dylan was one of the most... The person that's represented most in the book. I've got some of his songs sung by him.
Yeah, Times They Are Changing by Bob Dylan.
Exactly. Yeah. And then I Shall Be Released, which was covered by the band. And as you mentioned, All on the Watchtower, covered by Jimi Hendrix. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we love Edwin Hawkins Singer's Oh, Happy Day.
Yeah, I mean, quite amazing, really. You know, a gospel song that actually made it into the top 10. I mean, people like Mahalia Jackson were great singers, but they never had top 10 hits. And then you got Edwin Hawkins taking that old hymn that he discovered in his mother's hymn book and turning it into I know in the UK it was a top 10 hit. It was quite a turnaround.
Well, and the thing that was so impactful about these songs, you know, in the spiritual vernacular, we would say that these words were anointed, or there's something right. special. There's some empowerment on the lyrics. And I think that whether or not you are a person of faith, you hear a song from Simon and Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Water, and there is huge spiritual significance and reference in that song, is there not?
Yes, that was inspired by an ad lib line in a song by Claude Jeter of the Swan Silvertones, but the ad lib line actually came from the Bible, and Paul Simon's a great kind of respecter of the Bible and has often used that language in songs. And I think you're right, people acknowledge that there's a kind of there's a power in the language, there's a power in the symbols. It's a rich deposit. I remember interviewing Sting, and he said he was raised as a Catholic, and he said, you know, I'm eternally grateful that I had that background. He's not a believer himself, but he said, you know, to have those images, those stories, those characters, and that language, it was really something that gave him a sort of deep well to draw from in writing songs.
Mm-hmm. In chapter 67, we look at U2, 40.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's right. That's based on Psalm 40. Mm. I mean, U2 were one of those bands where... there were so many options I could have picked on, but I didn't want to. Initially, I thought I would only choose one song by each artist, but I broke the rules with Dylan, and I had to do it with you two as well. They've got two songs in there. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. We've just had a lot of biblical
interesting. Without a doubt. And Tears in Heaven, Eric Clapton.
Yeah, that turned out, you know, that the verse in Revelation which says, you know, all tears will be wiped away, that turned out to be one of the most popular verses in all these songs, you know, that people would make allusions to that verse. It's, you can see its appeal. It's a beautiful image.
Yeah.
But Tears in Heaven, Eric lost his son. He fell out of a window of a building in New York and died. And a very plaintive song, yeah.
Yeah. In 1999, Cliff Richard does the Millennium Prayer, huh?
That's right. That was, mine was a big hit in Britain. I don't think it was a hit in America, but that was straightforward, the Lord's Prayer, set to music, and sung to the tune of Auld Lang Syne, which a lot of people thought was a bit irreverent towards Auld Lang Syne, but there you go.
I can't thank you enough for all your hard work and research to do this on behalf of all of us who can appreciate Turn, 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 popular songs inspired by the Bible. We're going to link it at our website. Of course, it's available at all the usual places. Steve Turner, thank you so much for being with us.
My doctor makes more informed decisions prescribing my blood pressure medications based on the data I presented to him on the SmartBP app.
That's one.
SmartBP can export a colorful, detailed blood pressure report that I can bring to my doctor.
That's two.
SmartBP is easy to use and intuitive, and the features on the free version are very generous.
And that's just three of the thousands of five-star reviews of SmartBP, a new blood pressure tracking smartphone app from Evolve Medical Systems. SmartBP is the only app designed for ease of use and seamless connectivity to help manage your blood pressure and keep track of your health at your fingertips. With SmartBP, you can automatically sync your blood pressure measurements through Apple Health and Microsoft Health Vault. Connect with Apple Watch. Easily print and share detailed reports with your doctor, plus many more features. SmartBP is free and available both on Apple and Android devices. And be sure to search the App Store for Smart Blood Pressure from Evolve Medical Systems. That's SmartBP from Evolve Medical Systems, the smart blood pressure tracker.
Would you like to get back that?